Hello and welcome to SciComm Bites, short reflections on science communication that you can put into practice right away. I'm Suzanne Whitby, the founder of SciComm Success, and today I'm thinking about hybrid workshops and hybrid meetings. So I'll be very honest, hybrid workshops are not my favourite way of delivering training and facilitating groups. Unfortunately, thanks to COVID-19, more and more researchers, training organisers and meeting organisers want to go down this route. Some people are working from home, some people are working from the office. How do you pull them all into the same meeting? As a result, I feel like I've had quite a lot of experience with this form of communication, and I can tell you that running hybrid workshops has taught me a lot about how to communicate better. With that in mind, I thought I'd offer you two examples which I think have some relevance to communication broadly, and I'm going to link that to how we can communicate science and research in a world where it's not unusual to have an audience that's partly in the room and partly online. So here's the first example. I ran a hybrid workshop where I was asked to deliver the session online to a combination of online participants as well as a group that would be together in a physical room. They would be accessing the workshop with a large screen and a shared conference mic, and the online participants would be with me in a Zoom room. So I prepared everything for both audiences, really trying to tailor the forms of engagement, the exercises and activities and discussions to make sure that both the online participants and the people in the room had a good experience. On the day, no one showed up online apart from me. All the participants opted to be in the room, but the room wasn't fit for purpose. It was too small for the number of people who eventually showed up, and, to be honest, for the format. Some people were hidden behind the screen, so I couldn't see them and they couldn't see me. Side conversations happened. The audio was poor. The speakers weren't great on their end, and the mic was so inadequate that when somebody had a question, they had to repeat themselves two or three times, getting up and moving closer to the mic, which at some point makes people give up, right? The result, for the people who could see me and hear me, and who I could see and hear in turn, the session worked really well. For the others, disengagement and practical exercises that turned into collegial chats. Not great. Second example. The setup was quite similar. I was online again, working with a team who came together in a physical room to work with me. The experience, however, couldn't have been more different. The group was relatively small. There were 6 people instead of the 20 to 25 people in the previous example. It was made clear from the start that all the participants would show up in person in the room. So there was no need to think about how to design discussions that would meet the very different needs of the people who were online and in a physical room. The room itself was the perfect size. Everybody could see each other and me, and I could see them. Everyone had a place at the table, which wasn't the case in example number one. In example number two, the speaker and the mic worked. We were able to have a real discussion. There was lots of dialogue and sharing and brainstorming in real time. The content in these two examples was quite similar, right? The training topics were different, but essentially it was training, brainstorming, putting communication ideas into practice. The difference was the conditions. So what does this mean for scientists and researchers in the context of communication? Here's what I think. When you prepare to communicate, whether that's in a lecture or a seminar or a conference talk or a group meeting, your message depends on more than your slides and your script. It definitely depends on more than your research, no matter how groundbreaking your results might be. How your message lands and whether your audience understands, is engaged and involved in what you have to say also depends on whether people can see you, hear you, and feel part of the exchange. So the one thing that's useful to remember from today is that the logistics of communication are part of the communication itself. And that, dear listener, is your tip for today. Thanks for listening to SciComm Bites. As always, if you would like to explore more or bring science communication training to your team or simply get in touch for a chat, you will find me at sciommsuccess.com. On that note, have a great day, a good week, and I look forward to having you along with me for the next installment of this tiny podcast. Bye for now.